past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
That the Sunday morning groups are recorded to make be available to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning?
Yeah. I wanted to look at the holding back we started to talk about on Friday night, because I noticed a process where I hold back, I guess over the last few days, about everything, whether it's the precepts or a place I'm really looking at it, is around love.
Okay. So let me just give a little bit of the context, both for, well, I guess everyone's here, but for the reporter. So we just finished the precept renewal weekend. And so looking at that place of holding back, and especially for you looking at holding back around the precepts, but also in terms of love.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just seeing it holding back in friendship, just holding back, like saving, the story is like saving a little bit of safety for me.
Uh-huh.
Or spaciousness, you know.
Safety or spaciousness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the place that I'm really looking at it is with love and being loved. Sometimes in friendships or relationships, I can feel engulfed by love, like too much love. Mm. And so there's a running away, and then there's also a holding back, not loving too much because of fear of being overtaken by love.
And
when I think about the precepts and loving, intellectually it feels very different from my experience, because when I think about the precepts, it's being love.
Right.
And there's no holding back.
Right. Yeah. So when you look at that, the process of love through the lens of the precepts, it feels like there isn't any holding back. It's just being love. But that you notice a process that happens for you in your life where there is this kind of holding back and a sense of not wanting to be engulfed by, and so kind of holding, keeping something back so that you can have supposedly this kind of spaciousness and safety that you, quote, need.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems pretty clear that the one is a condition process. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other being a life process of just being love. Whereas over here in that kind of holding back, I'm guessing it isn't you that's served in that at all.
It sometimes it feels like I am. It just yeah. But the I wants spaciousness and autonomy and freedom and not too much love.
And what's the actual end result of that process, would you say? When there is that holding back.
Right now there's a feeling of I'm not fully present. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give myself completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost feels like what just came to me was trusting life and love. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hold back with my cat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And with trees, and yeah. With beauty.
Yeah. Which makes it so fertile as a place of inquiry, doesn't it? Because what that says is, you know the life process of love. You know, you experience it with your cat, you experience it with trees. And it's much trickier to experience it with other humans. I bet you wouldn't get a show of hands. Right? Because there's all that, it gets sticky. And all those beliefs and assumptions and projections in there. But at least in my experience, when we really see, wait, I actually do have the life experience of that process, then it just becomes so interesting to watch. All right, so this is what goes on with my cat, this is what goes on with my friend. And to watch that, what is the cult engulfed? Because there have to be a whole bunch of unquestioned beliefs and assumptions in that. That this is engulfing me, and this is too much love, and this is, what is that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with my cat, what I've been seeing lately is like, the longer we're together, the more present I am to the love, and the more we're both softening into the love. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, there's a seeking each other out for more love. Mm-hmm. And so I just noticed that the quality of love is really changed, and just gotten far more beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the idea that I'm, you know, keeping that experience away from me with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. When you say that, it's like life is unfolding that process of love perfectly. And in the other example, it's like ego is going to be in charge of the love. Now be careful, because you know, you're going to get overwhelmed by that. And you know, there's sort of a, it sounds like a process of control in that. And with the cat, there's just a, the life is leading that process of the love unfolding, the love deepening.
Yeah, and it also makes me want to look more at how I'm holding back with the precepts. Like, what do I think I'm getting by holding back from fully devoting myself to the precepts? What freedom?
Yeah. Well, and the essential question being, is it even you holding back?
Uh-huh. Right. No. The conditioned human is holding back from the precepts and from love.
Yeah. Conditioning really wants to hold back from that. And that attempts to get us on board with that. Because to talk us into, it's my safety. It's my space that I need to protect. So then it gets us to be on its side, if you will, and collude with it in that holding back process. But in that process of inquiry, it becomes obvious, well, why? I don't want to hold back. There's nothing that served for me in that holding back process. That's only serving it.
Yeah, that it's so hit home the other night when Sherry was talking about how we get convinced to not ask for guidance, not share, you know, put our heads down. And I noticed that for sure with me. I almost never ask for guidance. I never write a note to the guest master, you know, blog, you know, all the places where I don't. And conditioning convinces me, it's not that big a deal, I can figure it out, you know, and then I'm stuck colluding with conditioning.
Yeah, precisely.
And not able to go that next step into whatever I'm going to learn.
Yeah, precisely. As what occurs to me is that teaching of nothing wrong gives us so much space to practice. If nothing's wrong, then just start putting it all out there. How about this? What about this? I'm seeing this. I really feel this way. I feel like I want to do this. And what's ego will get, revealed. And what's the heart will get revealed. And things start to get really clear. And we're really happy to let go of what's ego, because that's not what we want for ourselves. Mark.
Well, I've been looking at many things.
At many things?
Probably one of the more interesting ones that just popped up in the last day or two has to do with that concept of taking what ego does to me and turning it around on it.
Uh-huh.
And one of the fascinating things that just, again, for as many times as I've been recording and listening, when I listen, I oftentimes will hear the same stuff over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And this little voice comes in and says, we've heard that before. It's so boring. It's so boring.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of go, yes. I'm sure for you it is boring. And so now when I'm out walking and I hear the thought bomb drop in, and I grab a hold of it instead of just letting it go away, and the voices start going, what I find myself saying is, heard that before, so boring. And that helps me to kind of let that go. Because this is my big job right now, is to get rid of the voices.
Uh-huh.
Is to not let the voices be what my life is.
To exit the conversation.
Yes.
To just let them do what they will, but that you don't need to actively participate in it. Yeah. I mean, that truly is job one, isn't it? Yeah. So that's perfect. So when you hear on your recording something that's a theme that runs throughout and the voice says, oh, that's so boring, heard that before, you begin to use that when it throws in the thought bomb, so boring, heard that before.
Yeah.
And then on you go.
And it really is amazing because when the thought bomb comes in, I may have actually dropped it like 6 times in the last 15 minutes. The very same one. Never does that conditioned voice come in and say,
exactly.
So boring. Heard that
before. Exactly. And that's such a...
It's just as new the 8th time around.
Right.
As the first.
Right, exactly. We're supposed to be just as devastated or just as enthralled by it. Yeah, that's such a good point. To me, Mark, what you're pointing at is that it's so critical to see again and again and again that the voice is not on our side. Mm-hmm. It has nothing for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not... Yeah, it has nothing for us. And to see what a double standard it holds. You know, it's terribly bored by hearing your insights and awarenesses, but not at all bored by the same pieces of self-hate being rehashed over and over. Mm-hmm.
I was finding myself getting in anger over this situation out there because I'm going back out there and starting to get in here.
Get prepared for the anger when you get, yeah.
Is that
okay down there?
And what's going on is I'm trying to support my husband through a really big health issue. Mm-hmm. Health / medical / being in the hospital issue. And where I saw this anger comes up a lot, like when he's ill, like, you know, I've been through a number of like smaller things with him, mm-hmm. and it seems like my projection is he doesn't want me to be involved, and tries to like minimize things, like, oh no, I don't need mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. you know, and then in this new instance, there's a lot of my family and his family and friends who are peripherally involved and concerned about everything, and I suggested we use this service, which it's a website where you can kind of post how the person's doing, you know, anyone with a serious something happening. And then, you know, only the people you choose can go there and see how they're doing, mm-hmm. right? And when I proposed that we would use that, he said, well, I only have 2 people. You know, that's just 2 phone calls, which is his son and his daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, somebody was like, okay, so you're going through this completely by yourself, and what about me? Mm-hmm. you know, and then... you know, and then conditioning gets in there, mm. and I feel angry, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like guilty in this ugly way, like how selfish of me to put this onto him. It's mm-hmm. you know, my family's a lot bigger than his family, mm-hmm. you know, like. Like, it's his thing, and you're making it all about you, mm-hmm. And it just gets really, really ugly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you report and list about it, which I'm guessing you have.
I've been talking with the mentor. It's funny, not as much, it actually, this particular thing came up right before I left for the retreat, and mm-hmm. I kind of, I haven't done as much recording listening as I would like to have. mm-hmm.
And yet that it does point at that that's the great gift, well, of practice in general for oneself, but also specifically the recording and listening practice, isn't it? Because it points at how that's just such a perfect example of when we need practice the most. Because here's this person who, obviously, projecting is really, really important to you. You know, you love very deeply. And so you want what's best for him. And you want to really care. And you want to... And so for you, that looks like X, Y, and Z, which may or may not be how, you know, he may not be seeing things through that same lens, right?
Seems that he's not.
Seems that he's not. Yeah. And so, gosh, the importance of being able to fully attend to this person, to Jodine, to recognize that she does have needs around this. She does have a lot of feelings around this, you know, a lot coming up, and that's perfectly all right. But that's the only place that those needs are really going to get met, right? Is in that process of mentoring, being with life, being present, that those needs are never going to get met in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think I was speaking with someone about this recently, that it seems like that's probably the most challenging place to really see that is in an intimate relationship. Because it would seem like, well, surely, I mean, you know, this is the person I'm closest to, and we're intimate in all these ways. Surely I'm going to get my needs met here. But in a sense, the only way that kind of an intimate relationship is going to work, truly, is if each person is attending to themselves completely first.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because part of the problem I get into is that I project that he's actually not attending to his needs first and foremost.
Yeah, which may be true, and the frustrating part is not a whole lot we can do about that.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, in a way it sounds funny to say, but, you know, we often talk about it with adults who are practicing and have young children, mm-hmm. of what an example that is for their children to see their parent practicing. But it's really true for all of us with everyone in our lives, that the greatest gift we can do is just to be practice. You know, it's like Gandhi's be the change we want for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that each of us, you know, truly, all we can really do is be that for ourselves, and then, you know, other folks in our lives can have that, can see that, you know, modeled.
Mm-hmm. And when will this recording be up?
Yeah, because right. It is one of those really real places, isn't it? Where I think that's why the recording will be so key for you. You know, maybe even before you leave the property today, where you have at least a little bit, the door's a little bit more open, you have access to that, of whatever that recording would be. Like, it's perfectly all right to have whatever feelings you have about this. You have needs around this, just like he has needs around that, and it's okay. I mean, it is his health thing, but you have your whole experience of it, and that's perfectly fine. You know, you're allowed to have that. You're allowed to have needs around it. It's just that your best shot at having those needs met is going to be in that mentoring relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what actually are the needs disentangled from, like, some hurt going on? You know, what are the needs, and then what supports within, you know, how I know it's going to go, you know, could I provide myself or...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because in my experience, that mentoring presence has such a skillful way of, here's the truth, I don't have any ability to affect anything else other than the relationship in here. So I can't make your husband do X, Y, Z. I can't make the, you know, whatever it is. But within that, we can be together. Yeah. And I can provide you with whatever reassurance you need, whatever, you know, we can take timeouts, we can go, all of that we have absolute influence over. No influence over what happens on, you know, what other people are thinking or feeling or decisions they're going to make or that sort of thing, but complete influence over the ability to support this being as we go through it.
Yeah. Good, thank you.
Wanda.
Wanda.
Me?
Yep.
I thought
you said Myrna and then
didn't think of Myrna.
No, Myrna.
So I just now made a little challenge for myself of seeing if I could stay present during this exchange, because I realized that pretty much most of the time when I speak in group, I go up here and...
Up here to the head?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And get in a deer in the headlights experience, mm-hmm. And want to get out as quickly as I can and never speak again. I just saw that.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to keep looking because it feels like a lifelong don't let me be in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Partly I think it's I can't think when I'm in the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
It's that deer thing again.
Uh-huh. There's a belief that if the spotlight is turned to you, you won't be able to think.
Yeah, and I think it reinforces that by keeping me in my head when it keeps the feeling going and it keeps that story.
Yeah, because it's funny because you don't really need to think, do you?
Right, well, we still need to get that message.
Yeah,
because I think that was what was going on.
Yeah.
It feels really good to see that.
Yeah.
And now to see if I can just stay here a little bit grounded.
Uh-huh.
I'm incredibly grateful for Sangha and for everything, the teachings and everything that brings me home in a way that I believe where I'm living now is almost impossible. So to come back and get a booster dose and is very grateful for that.
Uh-huh.
And especially grateful today for yesterday morning's conversation about responding to urgency, because I had a middle of the night opportunity that was a physical, and the first reactions were panic and who can I go to for help, but very quickly, thanks to that conversation being really fresh, it became, this is a great opportunity. Let's see what happens. I did some of the thing, I mean, it's something that's happened before and I know some steps to take. But then and I think this is a lot in my life, there's a look outside for who can tell me, or who can be here with me, or who can... And instead what happened was, I think what you were just talking about in a way, was the mentor just saying, let's just wait and see. Because there's a whole conversation that comes with this. Well, it's... A lot of it's probably not even conversation, it's just, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So a lot of that, as you started with, a lot of that urgency.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
That conversation yesterday around, you know, we can get into, we practice, and then something happens in life. I think specifically we were talking about health challenges, but really anything that's real, you know, really, really, really real.
Yeah.
And there's this sense of like, okay. Let me just put practice on hold for a minute and deal with this crisis. And, you know, I'm going to turn to the authorities, whether they're doctors or they're whatever they are, and get this done. Okay, good. Now we can go back to practice. But of course, the point being, no, that is why we practice.
Yeah.
Is to bring it to those very situations. Because of course, at some point, we're all going to be at the moment of death. And what we hope is, that's we're in practice, because there isn't going to be someone who's going to come and take care of this, and who's going to save you, and who's going to know, and who's going to... So what we practice is that there is that, just like we were just talking about with Jodine, there is that presence that lives with each of us that can be there with us. You know?
Yeah, and almost as soon as I recognized that and sort of came back to
myself, mm-hmm. this being, mm-hmm. there was a lot more ability to watch exactly what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to see whether, because part of what always happens is we get the spin on where it goes from here.
Right.
And what you need to do in case it goes there, or to keep it from going there, and to come back instead and say, well, you know, if I need to do something else, I'm going to get that information.
Precisely.
And meanwhile, let's just go back to bed and see if sleep is available.
I mean, that tiny little sentence, the wisdom in it of, well, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see. Because we know darn well from our own experience that if it comes to the point where it's time to do the next thing, we'll do the next thing. I mean, you know, we've all had the experience of that. You're on the freeway, someone cuts you off. You just do it. You don't stop and go, now let's see, if I dodge to the left, the angle of the, it just happens. You know, it's just there, life reacts. And so it's exactly the same thing.
Life is sensible.
Life is sensible. And so just being present, just being, well, where are we right now? And where right now? Conditioning wants to take us into, okay, well, it could go in this direction, so let's plan for that. We don't know where it's going.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm in the urgency, I'm believing everything it's telling me where it's going.
Right.
Which I realize is exactly the process I was talking about when I started.
Exactly. That's what I was saying, too. Yeah. And that, I mean, really, it's beautiful, isn't it? Because putting your hands up and saying that's what you're practicing and that's what's going on is exactly the same process as being with the person who's going through the thing in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And it's such a comfort to be in that place. And there's no need. I mean, any need to reach out falls away with that mentor and me just being there together.
Yeah. And it really starts to build a trust, doesn't it?
Yes.
So that then when, you know, if there are little parts of us who are scared by, you know, scared that this thing is going on or scared to speak in group or whatever it is, over time, as we begin to do that more and more, not leave, not go up into the head, not, you know, go off to the authorities, not whatever, and find out that not only are we okay, but it's a joyful, beautiful, kind, compassionate experience to stay here, that there's such a deep trust in that that begins to grow.
Yeah, in that place of sort of a big love puddle.
Yeah.
And it saved a couple of months from having to be waked up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Always a nice side benefit.
I would like to report a huge win over conditioning.
Excellent.
For the first time in 5 years of coming here, I used the port potty in my hermitage. Thank you.
And it was fun. Conditioning had all these stories about it was going to be a mess, and I'm such a wimp, and you know, and then you just see it out, and then what, and then where do you put it, and oh my gosh, it was on and on and on and on. But I think enough of the stories about the mountain lion. And you know, of course, conditioning's like, you can go up against a mountain lion. Come on.
But you can't pee in a bucket.
So you see, I finally got to that point. It was just scarier.
And where are your odds of success? I mean, that's just perfect right there, isn't it?
Isn't it?
What conditioning? Yeah, oh, you can do that. For sure.
Something new that conditioning has told me is like unacceptable behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, so then my challenge that I've kind of given myself is really coming back to the breath and meditation. Mm. And what I noticed this morning was when I really get there and I fall into it, how relaxing that is.
Yeah.
And then really seeing how conditioning equates relaxing with ennui, mm-hmm. boredom, depression, mm-hmm. I don't even know why I'm alive sort of idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then conditioning, when I don't fall for that, mm-hmm. then it turns it around and goes, oh, well, this is really good.
Yeah.
And it'll start talking to me. Well, this is really good that you're really focusing on your breath, because this is really going to help. And you know,
the
mountain, you
go against
the mountain line. Yeah. 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 But it'll come in, and it's like, and then it wants to be the best friend or the mm-hmm. the guide.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the more I could just recognize that
yeah.
as the voice in the head,
yeah.
and just breath,
yeah.
and not like no,
right, exactly.
breath. It's
yes.
just like breath.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So as you're saying that, I just got this image of, you know, conditioning's backstage putting on all these different outfits, right? Mm-hmm. And it parades out the ennui,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, depression.
And there's Beth counting the breath. It's like, okay, that's not working. And so it goes back and it puts on the, right? And it's got all these different outfits. And it keeps, and then
yeah.
it comes out as if it's a totally different thing, completely different player, and really going to get your attention.
Right.
And that we don't have to go, no, go away, I don't want you, I don't like it. Just counting the breath as it does everything it does. Because, in fact, as we do that, boy, do we see a ton about what it's attempting to do and how it does it.
Yeah, yeah. And how it's not the self-hate. I mean, I get that in other places, but it knows that I'm not following that at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in these other
yeah.
really tricky, clever,
yeah.
I know that this has been said a million times, how boring it is in a sense that it will try, you know, some of the same things, but it will also kind of clue into, well, if I put this disguise on,
exactly.
put this disguise on,
yeah.
if I try this, let's just
yeah.
see what I can get. And then it'll even go into, well, she loves planning about this project, or she mm-hmm. loves
yep.
this lights her up, so let's
yep.
you know, let's talk to her about that.
Yep.
Anything to get you in the conversation.
Yeah.
Just one word.
You know, and I imagine, at least from my own experience, there we are, we're right here, and then there's just that little,
what's that?
Yeah, right? And then it's like, oh, and it just opens the door and this and that and that. But if,
yeah.
of course, what we've got is, as soon as we see that, oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No more conversation. Because, of course, as soon as we do that, what does it parade out? Oh, again, see, it's not working. You can't count. Sooner or later, you're going to get pulled off.
Yeah.
But if we can come back and stay there, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, yeah, no matter how many times. And it's just that.
Times.
It's like using the porta potty for the first time, coming back to the breath.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's fun.
It is.
Whoa, look at that. You
yeah.
know, wow.
Truly.
Wow.
This is possible. This
yeah.
is possible. This
yeah.
is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to share that I feel like I saw a little bit about how the system's set up yesterday. I was walking to a task that actually this being loves to do. It feels like a way life can express through me,
mm-hmm.
and it's joyful,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as I was going to the task, though, I noticed a sensation starting to arise, and the message with them is, "Oh no,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this."
Mm-hmm.
And it would be something I normally then would like try to find some way to avoid this task from now on, to avoid those
uh-huh.
sensations.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
It's not the task.
It's not the task. I saw what was being set up with this whole series, and I could see where these same sensations arise in other tasks that I do.
Uh-huh.
Anything that has any degree of responsibility to it.
It's so perfect. So it just tags those sensations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just saw the whole thing about a small life, how it is so set up for us. You know, I've heard about, you know, keeping us small, and I never quite saw how that happens. Because, you know, okay, so I keep backing up. I'm going to avoid that sensation and that sensation and that sensation. And there's such a small range of things now that I can do that don't have a bunch of sensations attached to them.
Right.
And I also saw that what happens, it brought me back to the log of opposites, it seems, that when there's an activity to do that life may be capable of doing and wants to do, there's also a little landmine set up for me in the carrying out of that activity, that if I'm not completely present, I will, you know, do something that's, my attention will be on conditioning, and I'll do something that results in it,
you know. Kind of like a sabotage.
A sabotage thing gets set up.
So here's this thing to do that life can perfectly do. In fact, might even be one of the special abilities that comes through this particular being, set out to do it. But the way that the landmine is set up is there's going to be this little place at the key moment. It's going to pull the attention off the conditioning so that, you know, one little piece is missed or whatever it is.
Yeah.
See? You can't do that.
And then
all the sensation and then
all the sensations and the stories.
I don't like those sensations. I can't. Okay, so I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And really seeing how the whole practice of not feeling bad is key.
Yeah.
Because the moment that happens and I go to feeling bad, wow, it's got the victory.
Got
you know?
Yep.
It's like it's over there licking its chops, like, oh yeah, good, we got her now, you know. And that's more fodder for the sensations the next time that activity arises.
Yeah. And in fact, the refusal to feel bad, the unwillingness to go with that, trumps all of it, in a sense. Because if we, you know, so, I mean, you can see it, right? We're all convinced that we have to move our lives around on the content level. So, I'm afraid to do this, I don't want to do that, this is scary. And, you know, I mean, we're some of the only folks on the earth who know that it's actually happening on the process level. But so, if I can just move that and don't do that and do this and don't do that, then I'm going to feel the way I want to feel. But of course, the giant shortcut is to become comfortable, become okay with that set of sensations in my body. To practice that. Because if I can learn to do whatever in my life, even if those sensations are going on, I'm not afraid to do anything.
Boy, it's such a big shift.
It's huge.
You know, from what was available to me prior to practice. And it took me back to the conversation we had during the precepts retreat about, you know, looking at the tall mountain with a friend and versus, you know, and that.
So they did that study. Where they put huge heavy backpacks, this is what I remember, heavy backpacks on a bunch of young folks and put them at the bottom of a really big hill and asked them, I don't know, how high is the hill? And the people who were standing together, you know, in pairs, especially if they're standing with a good friend, universally thought that the hill was less, that their distance was less than the folks who were standing on their own.
And so what's available, I mean, the relationship with the mentor is the,
That's our buddy.
Is mandatory, you know? Truly. It's just, is the only way to approach that kind of system that is just there to, you know, to deflect, deflect life expressing to its fullest.
Yeah, exactly. Because with that relationship, it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, and the refusal to feel bad, then if there is that sabotaging thing that keeps happening, it just becomes interesting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Okay, let me see if I can, this time I'd love to see what is that that goes on there. How does the attention get deflected?
Yeah.
And if there isn't that feeling bad, we're going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. That's the other key point is, you know, to keep showing up with that that interest in, you know, and not going to the place, well, now I'm not gonna, that's not going to happen anymore because, you know, I've got it figured out now and I've got the mentor and, you know, we're going to just, you know. It's just more setup.
So without the feeling bad, there can just be that, like, instead of avoiding that situation, it's like, let me try that again.
Yeah.
Give me another one of those responsibilities where I start to have those sensations. Yeah. There's one more piece that I haven't seen in there. That.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, I've heard so many times go to where the resistance is. Mm. And it was just one of those moments where I thought, oh, that's why. That's what's available. Why I'm going to go to where the resistance is, you know, because there, it's the possibility of there being something on the other side of that resistance is so huge, you know, that's so joyful.
Yeah.
And so
that's great. You know, in a way, we could say that the resistance is really ego revealing itself. Mm. Oh. It's like a little map of where ego's flags are, is the resistances.
Uh-huh.
Those are places where ego is still running the show, calling the shots.
Uh-huh.
So those are the places we want to go.
Yeah.
We do, you know, we're trained to do the opposite, avoid those places.
Yeah.
But when we avoid them, all that happens is that ego stays in charge of those places.
Right. Wow. You know, I was listening to random recordings last night, and I don't even remember where it came from. I think it was something Sherry wrote, or I don't know. I just read it into the recorder, and it was something about a monastery is a safe place. Whew. I don't know. I thought, I've never heard this before, but a monastery is a safe place to go up against egocentric karmic conditioning and to have all the support to do that. And that was just like, whoa, okay. God, I didn't ever realize that. Well, that's what I'm doing here. and that was, you know, that was the whole deal. Like, yeah, oh God, yes. And what we want to do, and while we're in this safe place to do that.
And just lots of recording around much gratitude for the place and for the human who's willing to put themselves, you know, in that fire.
There we go. Thank you.
Becoming clearer and clearer.
Yeah. I'm looking at something that's becoming clearer. It's sort of around like egocentric karmic conditioning belief about what my life's about. Yeah. Like it wants me to be like, this is the story of your life.
Yeah. And here's what it's about.
And here's what it's about.
And I care deeply about.
I care deeply about. It. And like it's sort of the picture that it paints is like, you know, it's really about these pieces of content, these like big subjects, and that is what your life's about.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's see what's going on with these different areas of content, and we can evaluate how things are going. You know, it's like when I say it out loud, it's totally crazy, and there's so much support for it in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So much support for it.
Yeah.
And so way I was looking at this was around like problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of caught in this story around like you haven't brought your big problems to practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what ego was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so perfect about it was I had all these recordings and I was listening to them and I was like, when this piece of content came up, I looked at it when it was here, and then you know. I looked at whatever else was there when it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing what it will have me do is like, you know, these big problems, that's where my attention needs to be all the time. Right. That's where I need to work. Mm-hmm. That's where big, you know, realizations and whatever, that's where the work is done around these big problems, even when they're not actually present, right?
Yeah.
Because it will keep me in that conversation around whatever it says the problem, like just to like suck my life energy.
Yeah. Boy, it's so perfect, isn't it? So it's just another subtle way of keeping the attention focused on content, but trying to talk you into it by saying, well, you need to bring the process of practice to these problems.
Yes.
But to see, I mean, I think I hear you saying that to realize practice is a process. There is no big content, small content.
Exactly.
There are no problems. All I'm doing is practicing in every moment. And when a, quote, big problem arises, I'm just practicing.
Exactly. And it seems like that big flip around, like, what's my life about, you know, because it seems very related, because it wants those things, that content, to be the center of, that wants to be what I'm doing, what I'm working on, as opposed to, like, cleaning out this vessel to be a servant for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, that is beside the point, you know, like, beside the point. What we really need to focus on is this stuff that's, like, so important.
Yeah.
And not really pay attention to, like, opportunity that's being offered in the moment.
Yeah. Oh, it really reminds me of how we talk about, often people will use practice for me, you know, for my life.
Yep.
Kind of apply practice to this thing that I want to achieve and that thing that I want. But in fact, what's really available to us and what is really the joyful process is practice is everything. Practice is the process of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of play with all the different content in our lives as a means to practice, really.
Yeah. Yeah, what you said. Yeah, because it's like from that place of, like, practice is my life, you know, from that place of, what have I learned, you know, what have I learned about being human in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like from that place there really are no mistakes, and my life is perfect.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's perfect because it brought me to this moment, you know, where I get to look at this thing.
Yes.
And from that other place, you know, there's standards, there's stories about what could have happened, and it's so a place of suffering, and it's so sticky.
It's so sticky.
Yeah.
So much self-improvement in that, and it's funny, isn't it? Because from that place of the process of practice is the central focus of the life, of the attention, then it's so, everything in life is fun and interesting. And, you know, so it's not that, well, no, I can't have any content in my life. And that's not important and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. It's quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything matters. Everything's interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, come one, come all. Like, what content is here for me to look at today? You know, like, whatever it is that's here is like, perfect because it's here.
Right.
As opposed to having opinions about what other content should be here and all of that, because of that would improve the story of my life or
work, right,
from
exactly.
According to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's been helpful, and I was just seeing how it was, you know, when I get in that other place, it's like, it just feeds all these other karmic cycles that go on, and so, just reminding that.
Yeah. You're good. Thank you. Jan.
Well, I've been feeling so grateful for this extra day that we have the option for. And just seeing how perfect it's been to take what we had in those two amazing days and then practice, just practice, not only time. And getting to see so many things. And the big one for me has been, and I actually had an inkling of this, it's not like it was a surprise, but to see it at the sensation, you know, all the different levels, is that for the relaxation, that has been labeled at some level by conditioning as a problem.
The relaxation.
Relaxation.
Mm.
So, as I practice relaxation and being present, I notice these sensations coming up that are, you know, it's like that there's something wrong. And it makes perfect sense for how my life's gone for, you know, over the years. But those two things hadn't been connected. And it's so helpful, because now the challenge is to relax as often. I mean, relax in the sense of just sitting down, is that whole challenge, the conditioning. Especially if you have a certain personality tendency, is to just sit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To just sit, to do nothing, and not, maybe meditate, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if conditioning tells me to meditate, then I'm not going to.
At least you could meditate. Do something.
That would be
productive.
Safe. I can get you there, but
yeah.
It's just been so. Anyway, you know, how could 24 hours be any better?
Yeah.
So it's just made me see that whatever retreat I do, I need that extra.
I think it's so true. I've heard other, you know, in other instances where we have this kind of situation, I've heard people talk about that, and it really does feel like, it's like, so a retreat has such an intensity to it, and such a beautiful kind of a group being led through a process, and that, I mean, I notice it for myself, right? I live here, and yet there's definitely something different that happens on retreat, and that the reminders of what we're doing in practice are so brought forth, are so reflected, so clearly reflected, that it's such a gift to have that so clearly accessible. And then to have a period of time to kind of let life be that guide, in a sense.
And to practice that.
Exactly.
To practice letting life be the guide. I mean, not that we don't do that, that I don't do that at home, but it's different. It's different on retreat. And there was part of me that was so excited about having this extra day.
Yeah.
And I almost, for a variety of reasons, didn't do it, and because there was another wonderful possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And no, this is really important.
Yeah.
And now it's very clear why.
Yeah.
And there was one other, and just the, even though we're not in a group, the inspiration of Sangha,
yeah.
That when I'm going off, I could be walking to, you know, anywhere, and I'm inspired by another Sangha member.
Yeah.
I just, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there is, but I can't think of
it. Yeah. That's absolutely my experience, too. And, you know, it occurs to me as you're talking, Jan, that there's that sort of relaxation that you're talking about that drives conditioning crazy because the karma is so against that, that deciding to be here for an extra day is a really clear kind of choice to have that relaxation as part of your life, and how many probably ways there are for us to take that into our lives, to prioritize, you know, sitting still, whether it's maybe in meditation or maybe not, but just that, all those ways to prioritize presence, and that it, at least, you know, as you say, for a lot of people, it's so against the karma. Well, it's, you're not producing anything, you're not getting anything done, you're not crossing things off the list, you're not, but to realize, kind of like we were just looking at with Anna, that's the most important thing, is to make space for that in our lives.
Yeah, and well, there's one other thing, and this gets back to being inspired by Sangha, that because words tend to just keep me there or put me there, and I can be in conversation, you know, when I'm recording with the mentor. But when I'm sitting, I'm trying, you know, just to be in the body. Mm-hmm. And what I've started to imagine is what a Sangha member had mentioned one time in a group, I believe, is just that feeling of a hand on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Of, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just totally okay, just that touch. Yeah. And that has worked so beautifully. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's different things all the time.
Right.
Just to keep it here.
Yeah, just that quiet support.
Nikki. A couple things. First of all, just quickly, a process that I just saw sitting here, which is that frequently happens when I'm in the group and I think, you know, I get to be here a lot and participate, and there are people here who don't come very often, so I should not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the should is suspect. But what I just got while I was sitting here looking at that is that assumes that my contribution might not be worth for people who are here.
Right.
And yeah. I mean, I hadn't ever seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I wanted to do was give a testimonial to something that happened for me this weekend. And one of the big things that I saw when I was looking at what it meant to accept the precepts was to really offer myself totally to receiving, to getting and receiving guidance,
mm-hmm.
from the precepts, from the guide, from life.
Mm-hmm.
And I really saw how clearly that was what it was about and what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, as has been mentioned earlier in the group, I got a couple of opportunities
to practice that.
And received some guidance that was the kind that went right to that kind of core, this is who I really am, and this feeling really something, you know, mm-hmm. really strong emotion. Mm-hmm. But having just seen that, it was so helpful to say, well, yes, okay, there's yeah. that, and this is the guidance, and yeah. that's what I will do.
That's great.
And yep. to just then go and be with, yep. say, okay, this is what I'm feeling, yep. but that doesn't mean anything. Yes. That's just what I'm feeling.
And it's perfectly all right. I don't need to change right. that. I don't need to do anything
That's
about
right.
that.
That's right.
But instead of going off and having a conversation yes. about it, believing it, yes. I'm just going to practice.
That's right. And I'm just going to be here and watching then the feeling just go away and say, okay, well then, now what?
Yeah. Excellent.
And it was, you know, and I clearly can remember many times in my life where that was not what my reaction was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is so much more relaxing, yeah. speaking about relaxing,
yeah.
to just be sure. with this is what is, and this is what my life is offered to, so
yep. okay.
I'm willing, I'm doing it.
Yeah, good for you.
No conversation.
Yeah. Thank you. We have a couple more minutes. Joyce.
This morning has been really helpful. The biggest thing I've seen is that EKC is just sitting there like a little black cloud, mm-hmm. just waiting.
Just waiting.
And these little flashes of light when you're coming out, like, you're going to go home, mm-hmm. and you're just going to mess up again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, there's nothing you can do unless you move to the monastery. Of mm-hmm. course, that would solve everything.
But you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you were to say, that is a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That went, right?
You well, having been here, I know that it still goes on when I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
The main point for me in listening to everyone is it's the little things.
Yeah.
It's the little things. It's sitting. It's just doing it no matter what.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that is enough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there will be more, but it's the start of dissipating that cloud.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so essential, the point you're making, that so here it comes with this black cloud. Oh, it's only a matter of time. You're going to mess up. And to get it, there's no such thing. We can't mess up. If there's nothing wrong and there are no mistakes, then that's an illusion. You know, it's trying to create this scenario of doom, exactly like we were looking at earlier with Melinda, right? Mm-hmm. As if it knows what's going to happen. And now we need to start planning for, mm-hmm. but what you're seeing is, it's the little things. It's just being here in this moment. And in this moment, it's seeing that it's trying to create this black cloud and set me up for, quote, failure when there is no such thing. And that all we all do, regardless of the content of our lives, is we practice in every moment. And it's so easy when we're off in our, you know, lots of content going on, like Anna was talking about, to forget that. And to get pulled off, and that's the reason we stay close to Sangha. Whether that's coming on retreat, or calling into the radio show, or stop, drop, and text, or RLB, or I could go on and on, or, right? There's so many ways. But that's why. Because we forget. We get talked into something is wrong. We get talked into, oh, I messed up. We get talked into whatever it is. And all Sangha is doing is just reminding us over and over, there's nothing wrong. All of it's okay. We're doing perfectly. Life is unfolding perfectly. It's all just as it needs to be. I don't have to be in conversation with this.
Or any other disguise.
Or any other disguise. Yeah. There's a whole community of people who love me, who want to support me in this. Thank you all.